Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
907. I got to go back to the gym. I'm out of breath from running up the stairs. Running down the stairs and running back up the stairs.
Thank you for the escort.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Did you spill any coffee? No, you're fine.
No. Okay. I'm all good. I'm a professional.
That's Walter Assey from Renovco, and it's the Home Improvement Show, like the man said, 907. Give us a call, 514-790-0800. We're going to hit the ground running, as they say.
Of course.
You ready to go?
Of course.
All right. First up is Erica. Hi, Erica.
Hi. Just wanted to say, first of all, Ken, congratulations on your upcoming retirement. We're going to miss you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Eric. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're Walter, I have a question about driveway ceiling. So is it really necessary? What does it protect from? I have a 17-year-old asphalt driveway, had it sealed once by the guys who come around, have not had it done since. I've had cracks and stuff repaired in my driveway, and so now they were telling me, you really should get it sealed. So what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's all about condition. If you do have anything that is starting to disintegrate, or, you know, it's really about the cracks more than anything. So if you have already fixed your cracks, you don't need to seal your driveway.
Thank you.
And a big, if you wish, a good indication for you of, you know, why you don't need it is look at your roads. Nobody seals driveways,
exactly.
Roads or highways or what have you. So
yeah.
The only time you would need it is when you have a lot of wear on your driveway and things can get in between the asphalt with expansion and contraction and ice and saw and then create you issues. But beside that, and maybe even a bit of the look, it looks fresher, newer, and what have
you. Exactly. It looks ugly, but I don't care.
So you don't, honestly, you don't need to do it. And if you ever want to do it, it's between you and me. If you're a bit handy, it's a do-it-yourself type of project. You don't need to have so much technical knowledge. It's a bucket.
I know, I am handy. And there's a guy around here who does it professionally, and he says to everyone on Facebook that the product that he uses is of a better quality than stuff that you can get, you know, in the home rental stores and when you do it yourself. Is that necessarily true?
That's not necessarily true at all. Sometimes it can be even worse than what you could get. Because anytime you go to the hardware store, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it depends on what brand material you're buying. You depend on the quality. It's like paint, right? You go and you can buy a $20 gallon. You can buy a $100 gallon of paint. So same thing with sealers. That is not necessarily true. It's a sales pitch. I mean, the guy wants to close a deal, so he will say whatever it takes.
Is there anything that you recommend? Or are you allowed to do so?
I mean, there's not one particular brand that we back. They all do good stuff. And when it comes to driveway sealers, it's not rocket science, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
So anything would do. It's more in the preparation. Just follow the instructions of the manufacturer because it does vary from one brand to the other. But there's not one that we say it's better than another one.
Okay.
It's just, you know, your application and your preparation is more important than the product itself.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Erica.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now. Tony, are you there out in Brossard?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I moved into my house in January, and during the inspection, our home inspector looked into the attic, and he said that, okay, there are parts where the insulation has been moved, because I know there were major renovations done in the house prior to us purchasing it. And we had noticed in one of the bathrooms that there was kind of like this hairline crack along the joint of in the ceiling around the gyprock near the shower. And so our inspector had said, when he looked up, he had seen that, you know, the insulation hadn't been quite well placed around there. So we said, okay, we brought someone in to kind of come in and take a look and do an estimate of what needed to be done. So there were a couple of things that they noticed, and that's what I wanted to validate with you, beyond just the fact that the insulation was maybe not well placed there. Mm. In the other bathroom that we also had upstairs, they said that, okay, there's the exhaust vent that's going from the bathroom, because it was added during the renovation, to the exterior was like it was metal as opposed to an insulated one like the other bathroom. And that vent in particular was coming out through the soffit as opposed to the side of the house. So this evaluator said that that's something that needs to be changed. I wanted to just validate, is that really the case, that you shouldn't have a vent come out through the soffit?
Okay. That's a very good question. You can and you can't. There's a way, if you want to do it, there's a way that you have to do it. Number one, you have to buy the right soffit kit when it comes to bathroom fans extruding out of the soffits. Now, having said that, there will still be back draft. So the trick with that is, wherever you're going to place your fan, you have to close up your soffit 1.5 feet of every direction. So you'll have a 3 feet, if you wish, span that is blocked. What that does is, when the condensation comes out of the damper at the outside, it does not backdraft into your attic and create mold in that location. So that's technically what the trick is. The reason I'm saying this is because in most cases, where the fan comes out depends on your roofline. A lot of cases, you can't vent it out from the side of the house because it will be too low.
Right. So in my case, they did say that there was, they could redirect it to the outside, and they would change also, like, kind of the metal vent to just one of the insulated.
Well, here's your trick. Here's your trick. Even if, Tony, even if you do it through the side of the house, the other question you have to ask yourself, how close am I to the soffit? So if you are, like, extremely close, which is probably the case in your, you know, like, within a few, less than a foot or what have you, then in this case, you still need to do what I said that you need to do. You need to block a section of the soffit where that damper comes out. Because, you know, with backdrafts, that's what's going to happen. That condensation is going to fly. So you want to give it a chance to dissipate before it goes back in. It's a kind of a very, if you want, it's science, right? So if something backdrafts and the condensation is going back into your attic, it's really not doing much. You know, the placement where it's going to come on the side of the house is very important as well.
Sorry, the other thing that they said is that the maximum vents that I had in my roof were too big for the space, and that that could be a problem also. So they were recommending that I reduce the size of those maximum vents. Is that a problem?
I mean, it depends how much intake you have. So if you do have restrictive intake, it might be a problem, yes. I'm not as worried if you are, if your soffits are well ventilated. I'm not as worried, but if you do have certain restrictions, you know, you're better off getting the right amount of ventilations. It's better than getting less, mind you, but you know, because what does the way maximum vents work, it's all going to boil down to how much intake you're giving it. So if your soffits are not working properly, then your vents, regardless of the size, are not working properly as well. So if you have a blocked soffit, you could put all the ventilations on the planet on the roof. You're going to have zero functionality out of these. So that's why it's important that you ensure, first and foremost, that your soffits are well open and they're well ventilated, and your steero vents or your baffles are well placed. And then you can start worrying about the ventilation size and everything else.
How's that, Tony?
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
The other thing you could do, Tony, is you could also look at venting your fan through the roof, if that's possible. That's another possibility for you if you don't want to play around with the soffits.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. 514-790-0800. That frees up a line. Angelo, Christina, Rick, we're coming to you. John, don't worry. We're going to get to your call as well around the corner.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Was that on the air? That's me clapping my hands.
Yes, he was applauding me right before we start.
Let's get right back to work. That's what the clap was for. Angelo has been waiting patiently on the line. Angelo, hi.
Hi, Ken. I'd like to wish you a great retirement when it comes to the time, and thank you for being there.
Oh,
you, your radio career for a long time.
Thank you very much, Angela. I appreciate that. You want to get some advice from Walter, pick his brain about your air conditioner?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to his team. They came because I had to bite the bullet and decide to do it because the insurance was taking so long to get back to me because I live in a condo. And it's like playing tennis. Who's going to handle the responsibility, my homeowner's insurance or the condo syndicate? Anyways, so they came, they did the job. I finally was able to, because of my health issues, and I got my parents also that have health issues, I finally was able to go see them, and I'd like to thank you. But the reason I called is now I've got the dehumidifier going, and it's like picking up the moisture and everything. I'm wondering, what is the ideal humidity I can have in the house? Because sometimes it drops down to 30, and I'm wondering, is that too dry? And secondly, I have one of those air conditioners that are inside, like the brick. It's half outside and partly inside. And I'd like to know when they remove it, what I have to look for, because I see that it does drip outside, but I'm wondering, could it have been maybe heavy rains that made it go inside the grate of the air conditioner? Because it doesn't rain vertically anymore. It can rain sideways with the wind. So I was wondering if I could pick his brain about that.
Okay, so first things first, the dehumidifier that you have working, in your case, the lower the humidity, the better, because we're trying to get rid of mold and what have you. So what that does is when you dry the air so much, yes, it's uncomfortable for you to be around it, but it creates conditions that mold cannot grow or thrive because they feed on humidity. So the drier it is, the better it is for us to get rid of the mold and to be successful in that.
Okay.
Especially the hydrophilic type molds, because the mesophilic molds, they aerosolize easy, and as soon as you demolish, they actually go airborne. So when you have captation devices, you can get rid of them. The hydrophilic ones, which happens after a long period of time of higher humidity levels, if you wish. So they usually are the second responders when you have a damage that is a longer-term damage. These guys are more sticky to the materials, and they require, because they require a higher humidity level. So what happens usually, they kind of tend to be more sticky and less likely to aerosolize in case of remediation. So what you want to do is you want to create an environment for them that is super uncomfortable, that they say, we can't take this anymore, we need to get out of here, and they kind of become airborne if possible, if we can get to, especially if we can get to them, if you want, mechanically through tools and what have you. Then we can get rid of them that way. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if you are down to 30 and you have a dehum working in this condition, it's not a bad thing.
Okay.
It's not a great thing for you. It's too dry. Okay. But for that particular case, it will be a good thing.
Okay.
But
if I could just interject, the pictures were sent to your project manager, and he noticed that there was no mold. It was just mainly discoloration on the molding. It was a little damp, mm-hmm. but you guys remedied the situation by spraying your product.
Correct.
That you have. And by the way, your staff, your team, I felt really taken care of, and I cannot say enough nice things about your team.
No, thank you.
They're very, very, very nice. They work cleanly, they're polite, and I really felt like I was taken charge of. Not left to my own devices.
Yeah.
I really want to thank you, Walter. And you even called me at home. It was nice.
Yeah, thank you, Angelo. Thank you. I remember your case specifically that I think you had some health issues and it was important.
Exactly.
But, yeah,
exactly.
That's why it was prioritized in your case. But as far as the air conditioning is concerned, usually like window air conditioners are more problematic for many reasons. One of them is, like you said, the fact that you kind of plexiglass around the air conditioner.
It's so not in the window. It's in the brick
Okay, so it's
not on the windowsill or anything like that. It's inside the building,
It's an old type air conditioner. It's not the split. It's just the old type that had a hole kind of pre-made for it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
it's a 97 construction I am.
So I mean, anything might. It's a hole in the wall with, like you said, with a metal box, and sometimes just the caulking around that metal box, especially when it's high up, and nobody's gonna get to it every couple of years to caulk it. That tend to leak.
Okay.
Its chances are it's not from the air conditioning itself specifically that you're seeing it leak to the outside, draining to the outside, and that's a good thing. So it could just be the caulking around the box. And if you can, I hope you're not very high up there.
No. I'm on the ground floor. I'm the first one.
That's awesome. So just get someone to do the caulking around it, and hopefully that will fix your problem.
Thank you so much, Walter.
My pleasure, Angelo.
Thanks for the call, Angelo.
No problem, Ken. Bye.
Bye-bye now. It's a 928-514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Walter Azzi from Renovco. And we're going to quickly go. We'll probably have to interrupt this call, but Christina's on the line from St. Leonard. Christina?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Christina. News is coming up, so why don't you just set up your issue, and then we'll take a break for news and come back, and Walter will address it. So were you calling about your gutters?
The space between roof and gutter.
Okay, and what's the problem?
There's water that leaks between the two.
Water that leaks between the two.
Between the edge of the roof,
yeah,
and the placement of the gutter.
All right.
Yeah, got it.
All right, very good. All right, so Christine, we're going to put you on hold. All right, hang on.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. 514-790-0800. I don't want to hang up on her here. Hang on. Put her on hold, Jimmy. All right. Thank you very much. Let's head off to the CJAD 800 newsroom. Tom's ready to go. Then we'll come back with more of your phone calls here on CJAD 800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-790-0800-935. All right. It was Christina, right? Yes, Christina, and the gutter issue and that drip. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Walter. Hi, Ken. Happy future retirement.
Oh, thank you. Christina, I'm going to be coming over for lunch once a week, all right?
No problem.
Walter, what do you think about her situation there with the guy?
Is it leaking in one particular location or it's in multiple?
Okay, a few locations in the back of the house and the front of the house. Like when I walk outside, it'll drip. And in the winter, it's icicles when it's...
Okay. So how old is your gutter and is this a new problem?
It's not a new problem. And the gutter and the roof, well, just to tell you, I'm getting a new roof. It's time in a few weeks. So I was wondering if a drip edge would solve the problem.
You don't have a drip edge right now?
No.
Okay. So that's one issue that you will have to... And by the way, if you don't mention it to roofers, it's part of the kit. It has to be mentioned. Make sure they put it and not forget it, because it's hell to put it again if they forget, okay? It's the first thing that goes in before the shingles. So definitely put a drip edge. Now, that's one. Number two, now that you're doing the roof, it's a great time to verify the whole attic system or the whole roofing system. The reason you're having icicles is not just from the roof or just from the gutters, okay? So get someone to check your insulation in the attic, your ventilation on top, your soffits, ventilation, spacing, and try to take care of all of these at the same time, if possible. Because, you know, lack of insulation in your attic will actually shorten the life of your roof. It will create a lot of stress on your attic. It will create condensation. There's no money savings there, okay? Beside the fact that it will also create you icicles. Now, the other issue that you can have because you have icicles, and that's where you're going to have a bit of a challenge, the weight of the ice will create a banana effect, will create a bend in your gutter. And that bend creates also a spacing, if you wish. And then water could come through in between, if you want, the fascia and the gutter. Okay?
So okay.
It's very important, very, very important that you also address the story of the ice buildup. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have a gutter topper on your gutter?
Gutter
guard, like something that close off your gutter in order to avoid leaves and dirt from getting in, or it's
no, but I don't have leaves because there's not many trees that are that high. Okay.
So here's another trick for you.
And they check that there's the only thing that's in the gutter right now is particles from the roof because it's getting old.
So here's the thing: it's gonna get worse. When you're going to put the new roof, you're going to have more granulation that's going to go down on your roof. So a trick for you, after a few months, you absolutely need to clean your gutters because they will block. Absolutely.
With a new roof?
Specifically with a new roof.
How come?
Because all that granulation that is loose on top.
Yeah. It's got to go somewhere, right?
It's going to go somewhere. It's going to all go down to your so
you'll even if they remove the whole, roof.
What's gonna happen, Christina. I'm fast forwarding life for you.
So. You're gonna look into the future right now. Go ahead.
Okay,
be gentle.
So two things. One, they're gonna demolish. Depends how great they are. It actually doesn't matter how great they are. There's debris from your old roof that's gonna go in your gutters, whether you like it or not. Okay.
And they're gonna clean it, they said.
Okay. Well, hopefully they do. But again, there's some of it that's gonna go down in the downspout that they can actually get to, right?
Okay.
But having said that's one part of the issue. The other part is a brand new roof always will have that loose granulation on top, so that's protection. That's normal. So with the rain and the wind and everything, it's gonna start coming off your roof, and then it's gonna go into your gutters. Months, 2 months, 3 months, you're gonna have that accumulation. It's gonna, likely block your downspout. In any which case, gutters need to be cleaned at least twice a year. That's what I believe.
Okay.
So whether you have trees or not, it doesn't really matter because
it's not the trees, right?
It's sometimes not the trees. It's debris from the roof. It's flying from a neighbor, neighbor's trees, and so on and so forth. So a drip edge, try to solve your ice buildup. That's very important. Check your insulation in the attic. Make sure that the guy puts you adequate max vents on top. And make sure that your soffits are open and well ventilated. The trick with that is you need 2 inches of undisturbed channels around your whole roof.
Okay, what does that mean? Sorry.
Meaning, when you look into your attic, you do a 360 turn, and you want to ensure that you're seeing daylight everywhere you look.
Okay.
That's one thing. And then you want to also feel the same temperature like the outside. So if the outside is cold, you want to stick your head in the attic, and you want to feel it's actually cold.
Okay.
Right? So as close to the outside temperature as possible. That's the trick.
All right. Christina, we have to run. I hope that was some help for you, though.
Yes, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Rick, we're going to sneak in before we get to traffic here. We got about 4 minutes. You're out in St. Anne's. You have a question about your furnace, right?
Right. 20-year-old central air natural gas. It had a lot of problems with the air conditioning this summer, and I'm looking to renovate or renew, or I don't know which way to go. I'm looking for some advice.
Guidance.
Okay.
Guidance.
You had a problem with your heat pump. That's what I understand.
No heat pump. With the air conditioning.
Okay. So it's a unit outside and you have central air. Okay. And what kind of problems did you have?
Well, there was leaking water into the house. And we lived with it for the summer, but we're looking to renovate.
Okay.
I don't know whether to go electric or what's the best.
I mean, you do have natural gas, so I would keep definitely the natural gas. There's no reason for you to change. There's no limitations on natural gas furnaces, and that will give you the dual energy and what have you.
Perfect.
Now, as far as air conditioning is concerned, how old is the unit?
20 years.
Okay. So when you do make the change, because 20 years is getting up there in age, and you know the newer ones are way more efficient than the older ones, so that's a good thing for you. I mean, there's, because you have central air, maybe you should look into having a heat pump and an air conditioning at the same time. It's not much more expensive, but it will actually decrease a lot of the pressure you're going to have on your furnace, because that thing will operate to minus 30. So your furnace will barely work, you'll barely use any natural gas, and then you'll also, you'll always be getting the preferred rate from Hydro-Québec. So there's no question about it. But
good, I was just wondering, I can change the air conditioning, get a heat pump, and still keep the furnace?
That is correct. That's where I was going next, though. Where I want you to be super careful is you need to get a unit that is compatible with your furnace, and that's not always the case. So
An air conditioning unit.
Well, a heat pump unit, yeah. Okay. Now, the brand of your furnace is, do you know what your brand of the furnace is?
No.
Okay. So try to get the same brand to begin with.
Okay.
That's like a good starting point. So let's say it's a Trane or a Carrier or what have you. Try to get the same thing. Because chances are you're going to have something compatible with it more than, you know, if you get a completely different unit. And have that installed, because if not, they're not going to communicate well, especially in the winter, and you're going to have the furnace kicking in a lot more often than you would want, and you're going to spend a lot more needless money as well, and you're going to have more problems with it in the summer as well. So the size of the unit is also important. Sometimes if it's too small or too big, it's not good. The size of your ducts is important. So you need to have a guy that will look at all of these. Anybody that does not look at the size of your ducts, the square footage of your house, you know, and make their own study, they're not really doing a good job in determining what you need. Because a lot of them, what they do is they look, oh, you had 2 tons, I'm going to install 2 tons. But maybe the 2 tons is too small.
But changing the ducts in the house is a
no,
big job.
No, that's not what I said. Be careful. The ducts always get determined by the tonnage on the outside. So if you put a unit, let's say sometimes people have problems heating the second floor. So they say, let's get a bigger unit. Well, that's great if your ducts can take the bigger unit. If not, you're going to have all kind of problems, because there's so much pressure going through very small ducts. And that's going to do ice buildup. It's going to do all kind of problems with the unit itself.
Well, now that you mentioned it, it's not the heat so much as the air condition. We can't get to the top floor, the second floor, so...
Well, that's exactly it. That's why you need a guy to make a study. One of it will be balancing. The other part of it is going to be the size of the unit they're going to give you.
Rick, we got to run. I hope that was some help.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the phone call.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
951. Walter Assey from Renovco answering all your calls and questions. Here, we have time for a few more. We're going to get right to Gary in Point St. Charles. Gary, thank you for waiting.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got a two-part question. It's not the trivia show, so I'll be okay.
We hate two-part questions.
So I'm going to get the windows done next year, and I'm considering on the ground floor living room window of putting in glass blocks instead of a window. So is that a bad idea, and would I need a separate installer or contractor to do the blocks besides the guys who do the windows?
Okay, let's start with the reasoning behind you putting in the glass blocks.
Oh, I like the look of them, and my wife has an office there, and she keeps the blinds closed all the time for privacy.
Okay.
And I thought with a textured block, we can have the curtains open, and she'll still have the privacy.
Okay, that's smart. So from as far as efficiency is concerned, they're actually better than a double pane window.
Yeah, better R value, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, if you buy the glass blocks that are Energy Star rated, because they do come in different qualities.
Okay.
Some of them are interior, so be very careful not to buy these, because they will be horrible in the winter.
Okay.
So you want to get the Energy Star one. You want to get the low emissivity ones that will kind of also help in keeping the heat in the winter and the cool in the summer.
Okay.
So just kind of do some research on which ones you're buying.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the thickness of the glass makes a difference too.
The thickness of the glass makes a difference. Now, the thickness of the glass also is going to rely on what type structure you have on your home, in your home. So if you have built a home, how old is your house?
About 120 years old.
120 years old, that's going to be a problem. Okay. So you do have the wood block exterior or?
It's brick.
Brick. Okay. So you probably have the thickness that you would need to go, you know, so.
Yeah, it's an old timber frame, yeah.
That's right, timber frame. So that's good news for you.
Okay.
The downside to it, the downside is the weight.
Okay.
Now, you most likely would not have that problem just because you have that timber block house, so it's well supported.
And it's on the ground floor, too.
And it's on the ground floor. Yeah. But in cases where it's a 2x4 structure home, it's not really made. The weight is way more, it's way more heavier than a regular window, so it will have to be adequately supported from the bottom.
Okay.
And of course, the other thing is that it's stationary, meaning you can open it if you ever need a source of fresh air. But as far as efficiency is concerned, if you get the right ones, you're in the money. And in your case, just because of the privacy issue, it will be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And they look pretty cool now.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. That's correct. Mm. They do. So, I mean, it will serve you well. It will give you natural light. She doesn't have to close the blinds anymore. And you will have a lot more heat efficiency. And structurally speaking, you're in the right house to do it because, you know, it's made out of a timber block, so you're good.
Sounds win-win, Gary.
Yeah. And the other question was, are the window guys going to be able to do this, or is it a separate company?
99% of my answer to you would be it's a solid no.
Okay.
Okay, it's a totally different thing. You almost need a, you know, I've seen a lot of bricklayers do it, believe it or not, or glass guys in the sense that they have a glass shop.
Okay.
Rather than window installers. You could, I mean, if the guy is handy enough, he might do it for you, but usually they'd rather not because it takes a lot longer than installing a window. By the same time, you can probably finish a whole house.
Okay.
Just because it's more, you know, labor intensive. So, yeah, it's probably not a window installer that you're looking for.
Right. All right. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Jay is downtown. Jay, I got about 3 minutes. Sorry about that, but we're up against the clock. You want to talk to Walter about your gutters?
Yeah. What would you recommend for a flat roof, the best drainage system?
Well, I usually a flat roof would have a parapet wall around it. It will have like a mini wall of, if you want, a new wall around the whole roofing area.
Sure.
So you cannot really install a gutter system on it.
What about because I'm building, right? So I'm in the planning phase. What about internal drainage?
Well, that's system? The only way that you would actually get a roof to drain adequately is through an internal draining system.
Okay.
Now, you want to ensure that when they do build it, it's nicely sloped, that you don't have any pooling of water on your roof.
Sure.
So that you need a very good carpenter, if that's what you're building it with. If you're building it with wood, if it's concrete, it's another story. But
if I'm building with concrete, then what's the approach?
Well, I mean, it's again, they have to slope it to the drain in an adequate fashion. Your roof decking, in this case, would probably need to be elastomeric because you won't have the gravel to deal with, so you would prevent blockage. Biggest challenge in a flat roof. And your biggest enemy is debris and blocked drains.
Right.
So it have to be continuously maintained. That's your biggest challenge. The other challenge is to get it properly drained in order for the water to evacuate and you don't have any pooling anywhere. So that's pretty much what you want to look for in this case.
Would there be more than one internal drain?
It depends on the size of the roof. That's a great question.
Jay, we got to run. News is next. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Walter, thanks for a fantastic hour.
My pleasure, sir. Have yourself a wonderful day.
Yeah, you as well. Don't go anywhere. Lisa's coming by with the Home Improvement Show, the car show, and answering all your calls about your vehicle. All right, don't go anywhere. Jimmy, thank you very much. Tom is standing by with a look at news.